player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead, from football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
That's right.
Why? Why dry out?
Where in a...
Why?
What was that? Where does that... Because when you've been out in the rain all day, you need some time to dry out.
If you don't have your Carhartt stuff from E. Edwards, you might
that'll
get
keep you dry.
Oh, no, I got seriously, my Carhartt raincoat from E. Edwards, greatest jacket I've ever owned.
Now, Friday was like the ultimate test, and it passed.
It was just whizzing rain at 34 degrees when I left Community American Credit Union to walk down and buy some water. Because I was battling my voice, stunner.
what?
And like, it was driving rain, and I get there, and they all watch me. I take my coat off, bone dry, except for my pants. Like, my jeans were all wet, so I was sitting in soggy jeans
for
2 hours.
They weren't Carhartt.
I know. That's exactly why. The coat is absolutely magnificent, but
fantastic.
Yes. So, yeah, I had soggy jeans.
Soggy jeans.
Isn't that a
great,
wasn't
that, it's a country song.
That's a terrible
one. I was going to say.
It might be a country
number
song.
Number one in the country.
Yeah,
it's
Merle right Haggard.
Oh, Seren had some soggy jeans.
Got some soggy jeans.
His Carhartt just didn't cover his ass. So he walked around with his skivvies all wet and his jeans, and he's complaining because he was outside for 20 minutes.
It's like two minutes.
Didn't, my dad would say, you didn't hit any of those notes, but you scared the hell out of a couple
of
them.
Yeah, that's true. It's what we bring you in here for, singing songs.
That's right.
Tim Grunhardt, songwriter, something that's
troubadour.
Been said.
Troubadour.
Never.
Call me a troubadour.
Never has that been said
no,
before.
No, it has not.
Before we,
let's dive into the Chiefs.
Let's dive into the Chiefs. I was going to do some college football, but I'll wait on that.
Let's wait.
See if we have time to get there. Let's start with the biggest moments of the game as a guy who has played in divisional games, as a guy who was coached on the sidelines in college football games and head coached state champions on the sideline in high school. Let's start with what everybody decided was the first mistake by the Texans, and that was kicking the field goal. Everything had gone their way. They get a blown coverage. They beat it, which give them some credit. They completed the pass. Some guys would overthrow that. They get a blown coverage. They show the Chiefs something they either hadn't seen or something they weren't very well prepared for. They beat that for a touchdown. They block a punt for a touchdown. They get a muffed punt, put some point blank. They cash for that for a touchdown. Now they're driving again, and fourth and one. They're going to go for it, going to go for the jugular. Gets down to 15 seconds on the play clock, and Deshaun Watson is like, hey.
Do you know they didn't have a play?
They didn't have a play.
They. I mean, that is unbelievable.
So what is going on that
they
don't
have
a play?
I don't know, because, listen.
There's no doubt it's a negative on Bill O'Brien. I'm not trying to defend him. That part of the equation, he and his staff blew it.
They blew it.
Because either they hadn't decided we're going for it on fourth down. Seemingly at that point in the game, because of how fast those other things are happening and not being faced with the situation, it's like they had not discussed what are we going to do.
And that's the thing,
on fourth and short in this territory.
Oh, my God.
Right? That's what that play sheet is color-coded for. Where you are, you know where you're going to go for it, and you've already assigned the plays you want for it. It's got to be reaction. You had the think tank discussions around a conference table at 11:30 at
Thursday night.
On Thursday night.
That's right.
One in the morning.
And you installed it on Friday in meetings for an hour of just short yardage and goal line in each situation, in each part of the field.
You have gone through every possible game scenario you could have. And, you know, fourth and short in that territory.
And you have a prolific.
How many plays do you have that don't work there?
You have a prolific quarterback who could get a yard. Even if you screw it up, just say, run it in. Yeah. NASCAR.
Do something.
NASCAR.
It has to be a reaction.
Yeah.
Okay, now that being said, the best team the day before, the best team in the NFL on fourth and one,
yep, This is where I'm at. I'm with you on undefeated. This. I know where you're going.
Ravens were undefeated this year.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly
on
this. I know where you're going, and I agree.
And the Titans stopped them twice, and they were huge momentum plays.
Huge momentum plays.
And so what I think happened was all week they were going for it on fourth down because they never in their wildest dreams thought they'd be sitting at 21-0 in the first quarter. Nope. That scenario is not one you play out, not you the way that happened. I believe they had a play. It was there. It was talked about. And they, fresh in their minds, was what happened, Tennessee and Baltimore, and they second-guessed themselves. And they said, listen, 21-0, we do not want to let them get up. Somebody said, listen, do we want to give them a chance to stop this? We know we want to be aggressive.
We don't want to change the momentum at this point. If you're the Texans coaching staff, and you're going to get that stadium any kind of excitement or any shot of adrenaline, there is the shot. You can pull it out and start to put it in the arm, and if they stop it, that changes the momentum completely. If you go ahead and kick a field goal, you're up 24. I don't want to hear about it's a three-score game still, because you have to remember you have to execute now 3 2-point conversions, okay, if you're going to consider it a three possession game or three scoring game, and that's just really, really hard to do. I agree. I don't like the premise of how it happened. I don't like the way it happened, but I agree with the outcome. You go up 24-0 in the first quarter, you're feeling pretty damn good about yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm in the go for it on fourth more club, but I'm in it realistically. A lot of people want to go for every fourth down, and then when it doesn't get made, then they go, well, it was a bad play call, and they crap on that. Listen, they're not all gems. Nobody has a magic play that works every time against every defense. Nobody. Other teams, guys blow people up and plays get stopped. So you have to say go for it and then live with the result that
happens.
And
there was no indication in the first quarter that the Kansas City Chiefs offense was ready to explode. They had drops everywhere.
Right.
The plays weren't working very well in the run game, which was inconsistent or inexistent. And they were dropping everything, and that offense was looked pretty pathetic, guys. Let's face it. It looked pretty pathetic in the first quarter. You go up 24-0, and you take away any chance of momentum switch by a stop, you're feeling pretty damn good about yourselves if you're the Texans coaching staff, up 24 going into the second quarter with an offense that has shown no life as of yet.
All right, so – first of all, I think they were planning on going for it and fourth down in those situations, and particularly early in the game. I think they then called off the dogs, ran out of time, knew they were going to run out of time and take the penalty. So they called the timeout. They talk about it. They say, listen, we do not. And just by calling the timeout almost jacks up the crowd a little bit. Oh, we got them to burn a timeout. We do not want to let them off the mat. Let's just keep tacking on points. Okay, we're going good. We're going to be down here. We have confidence in our offensive game plan. We're going to get more points. Listen, if we field goal every possession the rest of the way, we're going to win this game.
We're going to win the game.
Which, in reality, I don't think would have worked.
No.
They would have come up short.
But mindset-wise, that's probably a pretty
good thought. You're not supposed to give up 7 consecutive touchdowns.
No.
So he kicks the field goal. All right, so there's way too much negativity around O'Brien for taking that field goal. I think we just played out the scenario that happened for him. The next one that everybody points to is what?
The fake punt.
And, you know, I thought he had it. And if you tell me as a coach, you know, and you've been in special teams meetings and all that, if I told you you could run a fake punt, you're going to get a guy carrying the ball one-on-one with the defender, is that considered a success on a fake punt?
Yes, it is.
It is. They actually, I think, ran a very successful fake punt. Just one guy is a really smart player, and he made a great
tackle.
But
I'll tell you why he was smart. Because it took too long to run that play.
I can explain that, because they talked about that on TV. And then I want to run something by you that a guy sent me a video of today.
It's the element of surprise on a fake. You get lined up, and you go. If all of a sudden you're moving guys around, we used to call it like
you're making people think.
Spider senses are starting to tingle here a little bit. Something's going to happen. What's going on? Why are these guys moving? I wish I could explain it, but I can't. But you could tell.
Everybody on the broadcast was saying the same thing.
But you can tell, like, when you're in a game and something doesn't feel right, or guys aren't looking at the same spot, or they won't look at you, or they have some kind of body language that is off, you can feel it. I'm just telling you guys, if you've ever been out in an NFL game or a college game or even a high school game, and you know that there's just something up, and you get that feeling there's something up, and that's what happened. Dan Sorensen had felt that something was up. I think the whole team felt like something was up, but he was the one who shifted over and was able to make that play. It was a great tackle, and to your point, I agree. Open space, one-on-one for 4 yards, 9 times out of 10, that guy's gonna win that battle. But if you know it's coming, see, the thing is, I don't think Dan Sorensen was surprised. So he was in a position to make a tackle because he wasn't surprised.
And let me tell you why. And I got this video, and I had not noticed this, but I got this video from a friend. So Reed, the guy who runs it, mm-hmm. lines up to the right of the punter. Sorensen is parallel to him.
Yep.
They're calling out the signals. Reed walks over to the left side of the punter. Sorensen walks over with him and matches him up. He's head-to-head. It's obvious right there Sorensen's responsibility is him.
Mm-hmm.
Then, while they're barking out the signals, he then moves back over to the right side, okay, and Sorensen moves with him. Sorensen mirrored him over to the left and back to the right. Now, I think at that point, that's got to be one of your signs, right?
Absolutely.
We've got a guy who's on me, and you have a kill call. You kill the fake, and you punt it away. Or you say, well, I just got to beat a man. And you, in meetings, have said, listen, we think we're going to be able to get away with it, and you just got to make Dan Sorensen miss. But Sorensen, I think, absolutely, whether he knew they were going to fake it or he just absolutely knew his assignment that Dave Tobe had coached into him, you're responsible for this guy. You got to watch the direct snap. And then he made a great tackle.
He did, and I think it was a little bit.
But he
of both.
Showed that he was man to man.
He
on him.
Showed that he was man to man, and by doing all that kind of over the top movement, I think it. Like I said, the spider senses were tingling. He knew something was up, and I think the other guys
almost,
on the team.
If you're
going to
run the fake, you want
just go ahead and just line up and go.
And you want him roaring off the line,
right? Yeah.
And you almost start to think, well, they're trying to draw me off, and then you're slow off the line, which almost makes you easier to read. Because you don't fire out hell-bent at blocking it. You're just like, well, I'm late, so let me hold my guy up, and you can see.
And I can't prove this, but I promise you, it was a Reed who had got the ball, right? Mm-hmm. I promise you, he did not look at Dan Sorensen one time during that whole play. He was looking away from him, trying to just not draw attention to himself. I promise you that every other time, you are responsible. Reed is responsible for Sorensen probably in blocking. You know, they're probably going to fan out, and he's got him one-on-one and vice versa. He's not looking at them all. The punts before, the times before they played, you're always looking at the guy you have. I have you. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to make eye contact with you. I promise you that I can't prove this. Maybe he did. I'm just guessing here. But I promise you he never even looked at him. And I said, Sorensen's probably saying, why is this guy moving around? Why is this guy looking like, you know, something's up and he won't look at me? I'm betting that's, and I'm not saying that he thought, okay, it's going to definitely be a fake, but he said, I'm going to keep my eye on this guy because something's up. And that's exactly what happened. They knew something was up. And to Romo and all the other guys, I agree with them. If you're going to run a fake, you go up to the line of scrimmage, you run it. You don't let the defense get set. You don't let anybody communicate. You go. Because if you're going to do it, damn well do it. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't shift guys around. Just go do it. And if you start shifting guys around, you start moving people around, all that kind of stuff, that just gets the defense in a mindset that something's going on.
And I know people, you know, want to make it, you know, whether or not you hit or stay on a 12 against a 2 in blackjack, you know, or your 16 play, you got to always do it the same way. And so you either go for it on fourth and then run the fake, or you kick the field goal and punt it away. Well, except for what had happened in between, right? The Chiefs had scored,
mm-hmm.
and the momentum was coming back. And so I know what he thought was, all right, now I got to get the momentum. Let's quiet the crowd and let's get a first down here. And so it's not as easy as just you got to do the both. I mean, I get that logic. It's sound logic, but there is also the bit of feeling the moment. What Andy Reid always says, yeah, we have all the numbers, you do all this, but some of it is just the feel of the game when you're in it. And I think Bill O'Brien was right, and I think, you know, maybe he didn't even realize it, but at the time he was deciding the game right there, that I've got to take the crowd out, and maybe he still would have lost, because I think the Chiefs are so much better than the Texans, it's not even funny. But he decided, I've got to stem the tide right here. Right. I can't come off the field, put their offense back on the field, and watch them cut through my crappy secondary to cut it to 24-14. So Bill O'Brien's not a moron. That's the only point.
I don't have
– because if he's a moron, then the Chiefs players aren't very good.
Well, here's
I don't like taking away the credit that the Chiefs players and coaching staff deserve.
Here's the thing. I don't really disagree with either one of the calls. I don't agree with the execution of the plays. To call a timeout – you can't get lined up to run a fourth down and one. You don't have a play ready. That's the execution. That's nothing with the decision. And then the fake punt. I would never have done it. I don't like it. I don't want to put myself in
a
position.
I like it. I like it in that spot because what everyone said, oh, you're at your own, whatever.
If you're 10 yards forward, then everybody's waiting
for
that.
If you're at the Chiefs 48, they're all looking for it.
You're probably in defense stay. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so it's not a bad spot to be in there. My point is this: the execution wasn't there again. The decision, listen, coaches are going to make decisions. He would look like a hero if he made it. He looks like the GOAT because he didn't. But the other GOAT, not the greatest of all time, the GOAT, you know, now may have two meanings. So now my problem is, once again, with the execution. It took way too long to run the play.
Yeah.
And when you let a defense kind of get set and get themselves in and look around and scan around and get a feel, just like you said, hey, they had a feel for the game. Andy Reid always says the players and the coaches get a feel for the game. Well, guess what? The Chiefs had a feel that something was up, something was different. And by doing that, they just were more aware. And when you're more aware, then you have time to make that adjustment. If Dan Sorensen's not aware, his first step is what? He opens his hips up to go ahead and get back. Well, he's aware. Why is he aware? Because something was up. Something was different. So guess what he did? Instead of stepping back, he probably stepped forward. And by stepping forward, it gave him the momentum. It gave him the opportunity to make the play where he did. And it just came down to just being aware and giving the Chiefs an opportunity to make an adjustment mentally, not physically, not scheme-wise, mentally. I had better get my spider senses up here because something's coming.
Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Tim Grunhard. We'll talk about the power rushing attack of the Tennessee Titans here on a Tuesday. It's our football insider, Tim Grunhard.
The program with Seren Petro.
He's a big hoss, about a 260-pounder.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. Who are the starting quarterbacks in the last AFC championship game that did not include Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger?
Flacco?
Nope.
Flacco played Brady both times. Uh-huh. 11 and 12. You know one of these players.
You know him personally.
Personally. You have
Joe Montana.
His hands have been between your legs.
I've had a lot of
hands there.
My legs.
Over there. I don't know. We want to get into that right now.
No. Repeat the question.
Starting quarterbacks, the last AFC Championship game that did not contain Manning, Brady, or Roethlisberger.
AFC Championship game, huh? Jeez, that's gonna be somebody. I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, I can't.
Yeah, you are.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
You played with the guy. You played with the guy here.
I know. I mean, it's not Montana because we were in the AFC Championship game.
Nope.
No.
You guessed Joe Flacco. Same college as Flacco.
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon.
Oh,
the Raiders in 02. Yeah, who did he beat?
Who did he beat? That's a good question,
too. He is no longer with us.
I don't know. Guys, you know I suck at these things. I mean, why do you put me on these
Steve
spots?
McNair.
Steve McNair, Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay. Raiders and Titans. They're like one of the Raiders because they won and won the Super Bowl. And Gannon was the MVP.
I'll tell you what. If we'd given you another, you know.
Another half hour, 45
half
minutes.
Half a thousand guesses. You might have got there.
I might have got there.
You might have got there.
17 years since they've had an AFC title game where they didn't have one of those three guys playing in it.
Playing for great Cajun food from Jazz, the taste, sights, and sounds of New Orleans for over 25 years. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Take advantage of that great, great Cajun restaurant, Jazz, tonight, if you like. Mm-hmm. Get the family together or some buddies. Great place to go, hang out, and have some great dinner in the Legends, 39th and State Line by the Med Center, and in Independence by Silver Signs Eye Center's Arena. It is Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Tim Grunhard is with us here in the program, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Their floor model spa sale, 30 to 60% off, is going on right now. Tim, we all could have used a spa during that first half. Mm. Floor model sale as well on the foosball and the video games. We play the foosball downstairs, Tim. You ever play foosball? You never stop by and play foosball.
No, I don't. I have played, but
you should come play with us because I'd like to really just kick your ass at something.
I do it. I cheat. I do the spin thing. I just keep spinning.
You can do it.
Spinning.
You probably still suck. I'll still let you do that and beat you.
Well, I haven't played since college. So
good, even better. Like I said,
let's go do it. I used to be able to set it up where I'd be able to hit it sideways and then smack it in.
Yeah,
you know, with the front three. Mm-hmm. You know, set it up.
Just said I got low self esteem, so I
little bounce pass over, shoot it up. Boom! I used to be able to do that.
No, I doubt it. But anyway. I would like to just pummel you in foosball if possible.
Are the Kansas City Chiefs playing the 1990 Kansas City Chiefs this weekend?
They are, in my opinion.
Pretty much.
I mean, if you think about it, Tannehill and DeBerg. Okay, so mm-hmm. DeBerg in 1990, I believe he had like 23, 24 touchdowns mm-hmm. in the 16 games he played. Had a big power running back in Christian Okoye. Now, I think the old Henry Fortune, Derrick Henry, is mm-hmm. a better – probably better running back than Christian was, but very similar in kind of their styles.
Listen, Christian at his best, Henry at his best. I don't know, Henry's putting up some big numbers.
I think Henry's just a little bit faster than Christian was. I think Christian was just as hard to tackle and was just, you know, the issue with, you know, when you're going against Henry is that people just don't want to tackle him. It hurts to tackle him.
Anybody wanted to tackle Christian Okoye?
No,
but
he's faster.
Mind?
But he's faster. That's what I'm just saying. The very similar. I mean, you could listen. I'll agree with you. Listen, I like Christian better. I think Christian was great. He was awesome. He used to run
Henry,
me.
Henry probably a little more nimble. Maybe just mildly more. You know.
I'm not.
When you say nimble, he doesn't run over his linemen like Christian did.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't get out of the way, Christian got you out of the way.
Out of my way, Timmy.
Gruny, you are in the hole. I'm going to run you over if you don't move.
You cannot have any of my hungry men
and
microwave dinners.
Do not eat my goat neck bones.
Christian, in that year that he led the league in rushing, only averaged 4 yards a carry.
700 carries.
Five carries?
It's 370 for 1480. 12 rushing touchdowns. I probably would take Henry.
Yeah.
I think Henry's better.
But check it out. Okay, well, they're playing the 1990 Chiefs. The
quarterbacks
they are very similar.
Chiefs, yes.
The running backs, Edge probably is going to go to, you know,
Titans on running
backs.
Wide
receivers, you know, Brown, the rookies, pretty good. You know, but there were some decent wide receivers back with the Chiefs. I don't know. I would say it's about a push. I do think the defense for the Chiefs is better than the Titans' defense in 1990. I mean, you had Derek Thomas and Neil Smith, and you had a bunch of
good
Dino
secondary.
Hackett in the secondary, probably the best secondary, one of the best secondaries in Chiefs history.
Yeah. Albert Lewis and Duron at the end of his career.
Duron and Lloyd Burris and Albert Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Nope.
So you are playing, and one of the things that we would struggle with, and I think this is what the Chiefs are going to have to do. Number one, and you guys mentioned it a little bit earlier, you can't give these guys a short field. You just can't. It's going to be about making sure they have to go 70-plus yards to go ahead and score. Because, you know, something will happen. You'll get a stop, and you'll be able to stall them somewhere. But if you have, you're giving them, you know, 50, 40, 35, which has been happening throughout the playoffs for the Titans, they're a tough team to beat because they're going to be able to take advantage of that. Number two is, listen, let's just break it down to the nitty-gritty of how to stop the run. There's seven gaps that you have to cover in the running game. All right, there's seven gaps. So you have seven players to cover seven gaps. Well, when you're playing against a running back like a Derrick Henry, you got to have seven plus or seven plus one. So you either have to have a guy that's halfway in, so you're either playing seven in a box or seven and a half in the box, or you're playing eight in the box, which, you know, you're going to put some pressure on your defensive backs. But if they're going to run the ball, then you got to have the ammunition to stop it. And by trying to cover each gap with those seven guys and having a half to a full man plus in there to wrap up and to help finish tackles, that's how you have to stop this running attack. The other thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to run blitz. I heard you say that a little bit earlier. You have to run blitz. You're going to have to move the defense line up front. And I'm going to say something, and this is what I would do. I don't think Spags is going to do it, but I would shift into a bear. I would shift into something. You have
46?
Yeah, 46 defense. You go ahead and shift in and cover all three guys in the middle. It screws up every zone blocking play because now you have to do what we call a gang block, where you have to bring the tackle to block the three technique. You have to take the guard to block the center. You got to take the center to block the other three technique. And you got to take the play side guard to get up on a backer. That's a lot of moving parts in order to run your zone play. Now, obviously, there's some things that you could do. You can get outside. But listen, this guy likes to run between the tackles. Not saying he can't run outside, but he likes to run with his shoulders square between the tackles. You get him to turn his shoulders. He's perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, or his shoulders are running towards the out of bounds line. You have him. That's where you want him. As soon as he turns his shoulders, he starts getting the momentum up the field. That's when he becomes a guy that is very difficult to tackle. So you want him to have to skate, or you want him to have to shuffle and go maybe one gap more than he's going to have to, and you want to be able to find ways to penetrate a little bit. The other thing that you want to do is you got to be gap sound. You got to trust the guy next to you, and the linebackers have got to trust the defensive tackles. I think if it comes down to anything in this game, you know, after the last 7 or 8 weeks that they played pretty well defensively, do they absolutely trust each other to be able to do their job and not worry about the guy next to him and not try to do too much? You do your job, because if you try to do too much against a guy like Derrick Henry, he's going to beat you every time. Because if you're going to try and say, listen, I have this A-gap, but I'm going to skate across because I want to make the play, and all of a sudden he cuts back and he's free up in the linebackers or the safeties, that's when you have issues against a running back like Derrick Henry. And, you know, don't be afraid to bring a safety up in the box also. And so those are some of the things that you're going to have to do. But one of the other thing that, and this may sound counterintuitive, give the linebackers some room. A lot of times when you're playing against a back like this, people want to bring their linebackers tight up into the line of scrimmage, and it's so hard to read. And this guy does a good job of setting blocks. He does a good job of using his quickness for a big guy in order to get to the gap that he wants to go to. Let those linebackers have a little bit of room to be able to read and adjust and flow downhill in order to make contact. Then you may give up an extra yard or two or three during a run, but you won't give up that big play. If you don't give up that big play to Derrick Henry in this offense, you got a really good chance of winning.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Where's the Titans after 16 regular season games? And I know they've played two very good ones, right? But after 16 regular season games, where do the Titans rank defensively in yards allowed?
Where do they rank defensively? I would say that they're in the 20s.
21. Mm-hmm. Where are they rank in points?
Points given up?
Yeah,
points allowed. I would say,
which is a team effort, but mostly that's the defense.
Okay, I would say that they are still in the 20s, maybe 24, 25.
12. Now, grinding the running game shortens the game, helps them out.
But they don't score
as far as
that
their points
much.
Allowed.
They're not big scorers.
No, but they limit possessions and snaps. So they're 12th against points. They don't suck, but they're 12.
Right.
Not one. Like you talked about, your defense was one. Points was one in yards, three in points allowed in 95, and was one in points allowed and 11 in yards in 97. So both those defenses are better. So, yes, this is Marty Schottenheimer football, but the defense is not as good.
Right.
Against the run, they're 12th. Against the pass, they're 24th. The Tennessee Titans are 24th against the pass.
And I promise you, and I loved every quarterback I played with, including Joe Montana. And I this might be sacrilegious to say, but there's no other quarterback in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs that could have done what Patrick Mahomes did last week. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
No way.
There's no chance.
And I think if he finishes,
there might be eight quarterbacks in the history of the game that could have done what he did last week.
I truly believe we're about 2.5 weeks away from the conversation being. I mean, he's going to have to win, but from the conversation being, is this the greatest quarterback that ever lived? I think it's like, and you can say like, oh, it's way too early.
No, it's
fine,
not.
Fine, it is. Okay, then you sit on the sideline while the adults over here at the adult table have the conversation.
If he follows a 50-touchdown MVP season with a world championship and Super Bowl MVP.
Nothing.
And two AFC championships in a row, by the way, at home.
If you ever, you know,
he's only been starting 2 years.
If I give you a peek under the covers, you ever hear a guest, you know, just won't give me an opinion. And as always, well, we'll see.
Then you don't want him back on.
Well, I know we'll see.
You don't want him back on.
I know. Well, nah, not necessarily. There are reasons. But know that I'm pissed. Know that it's chapped my ass. If they will not, come on. Like, it's talk radio. Right? I had a guy, I was on a show down in Arkansas last week, and the guy apparently had picked the Texans. So he wanted someone to come on and say the Texans are going to win. And I'm like, I'm picking the Chiefs 37-13. I like him to win. I did this, and every time I get going, he'd be like, "Oh, awfully confident there." I'm like, "Yes, I am. I'm very confident." Like, he kept interrupting me, and he's like, "Well, geez, you're just all over this." So I said, "Well, I am picking him 37-13. Yes, I mean, there aren't many questions you're going to ask me where I go, wow, they're toast." And
well, I bet he was feeling good about
himself. And he's like,
quarter.
"Well," and I said, "Well, listen, I said if what you're looking for is somebody to come on here and go, well, we'll see, right? You know." You know I host a talk show as well, so I think I know what I want from my guests, and it's to have an opinion backed up by logic and reason, not just throwing crap on the wall. I'm giving you what I think is going to happen, and I'm telling you why. All the players that are back for the Chiefs, like Chris Jones wasn't hurt at that point. You know, I said, but if you just want me to say we'll see or the Texans are going to win, you need to call someone in Houston. Like,
What's your hot take on Chris Jones, by the way?
I think he probably got hurt in practice.
Okay.
But
I don't know either. I think he did too.
I think he did, but I saw him take a fall. And listen, if I'm driving around in my car and the talk show fatty watched him battle like it's NBA game 7, you know, in a pickup basketball game, and he goes down and just kind of lays there for a little bit, and I'm driving in my car, I want to know that information. That's why I gave it to you. I'm not some Chiefs kiss ass that's going to bury things under the rug. I'm in that locker room. You want me in that locker room? What? To tell you what the hell's going on in that locker room? That's what the hell happened in the locker room. Now I got some sniveling putz that fired me a tweet, and I didn't even bother. It's like, oh, Petro said he got hurt playing basketball. No, I didn't.
You didn't say
I didn't.
That.
I said he went down playing basketball. And then by my memory, now Nate Taylor's memory, he remembers it different. Nate thinks they kept playing. I felt like the game was over when he went down. No game ends with a guys down stop. That doesn't determine it. They were playing to a score, and they quit playing. That's my memory. Nate Taylor's memory is different.
Can you explain to everybody?
I'm just giving you all the facts. You guys figured out.
Beside that, can you explain? What do they have a basketball hoop in the locker room now?
Yeah, 10-foot. It's there like the new
Where?
Practice facility, right in the locker room, right in the practice facility locker room. It's probably got a 20-foot ceiling in there.
Really?
And so, you know, you couldn't throw a full court shot
up. But it's actually in the locker room. It's not on the field. It's not in the weight room. It's in the locker room.
It's in the locker room. It's carpeted. You know,
I promise you, we had a Nerf ball, a little Nerf set. We would shoot we'd play
but
horse.
But your locker room didn't have as high a ceiling and didn't have as much room.
No.
You've been in this one now.
I have, but I've never seen.
It's over one of the doors into like the bathrooms.
Okay.
And it really doesn't create a big court. It creates a court that's probably 5 feet on either side of the lane, you know, out to about a little past three. It's kind of like a long, narrow. You can go way left, but you can't go right because you'll hit one of the locker stalls.
All right.
And so they play. And listen,
hey, listen, they play.
Yeah, I don't care if they play. I've said this. Like, I'm sure Andy Reid, if he's on board, if he knows it's happening, then Andy Reid has looked at it and said, listen, you can get hurt walking across the street. Let the guys have fun and be loose and compete. And
seems to be working.
Yeah, it's working. So I don't care if they play basketball. But like I said, I'm in that locker room so that the fans can know what the hell's going on in that locker room. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on when they're in meetings? I don't have privy to that. But I can tell you that that's what's happening. So I do think it's of note that that occurred. And I mentioned it before he was hurt. He went through practice Wednesday, was not on the practice report.
Yep, yep.
And then Thursday was listed as limited. Today, now the story is that he got hurt on the next to last play on Thursday. I believe it. If you ask me, you have to bet your life on what happened. I would bet my life that he got hurt in practice. But this also happened.
Yeah.
Now,
okay. I didn't know I was opening a can of worms with that.
Well, just,
I didn't even hear the worms have been all over the table for a week.
You didn't really open it again.
No, no. I mean, I still people going, did he really get hurt playing basketball? And I tell everybody, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is what I saw.
You don't know. You don't.
You know. Huh. Listen, 2 years from now, though, and this has happened before, if I sit here and talk long enough, I might be able to think of one of the situations. There have been a number of times where I say, hey, be aware of this. Everybody gets pissed because we're in full homer mode now, and all we want to hear is that everything's great. And 5 months later, 6 months later, a month later, next week, whatever it is, you come all the way through fruition, and then people start telling the truth, and you're like, oh, yeah, Petro nailed it. Yeah, that was it. Well, I'm not going to nail anything on this. I'm just telling you he fell. If they come back and say, turns out that, yeah, he heard it there and then aggravated it in practice, you got the information. You had the information. You do with it what you want. I know Chris Jones looked super pissed watching the game. Now, they had one shot where he's like, God.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was all frustrated. And listen, Chris Jones is a great guy.
Yeah.
I've said it all along. It's been a tough year for Chris Jones. It started with, in my opinion, a poorly timed holdout, which got some people sour at him. It continued. And I know there's some people that kissed his ass and wanted to act like it wasn't anything. But his comments were just ill thought. He just did not think through his comments about selling your tickets. And I don't believe he meant to call out Chiefs fans, but you can't say it. Right? They're just things that you can't say. You can call it political correctness. You can call it what you need to call it is there are things that hurt people's feelings. And you have to consider whether you're going to say it. That hurt some Chiefs fans' feelings. So that was a rough go for Chris Jones in it. And, you know, he's a different guy now. I mean, he's scarred from this year. I'm going to tell you, he's not happy-go-lucky. I told you, he used to be ready to talk to everybody.
You said it about 10, 12 weeks ago. I remember you saying that you know, he's a little bit more guarded.
When I went up to him and said, hey, you got a couple of minutes. He goes, do I have to do it? I said, you're a grown-ass man. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Derek Nottie laughed. I said, but I'd like you to do it. I said, I want to talk to you about the Pro Bowl and give you a chance to take a victory lap about the Pro Bowl. He goes, okay, let's do it. I started talking to him, and he's like, doesn't mean anything, doesn't matter. I had 15 and a half sacks last year, didn't make the Pro Bowl. He was sour about it.
Yep.
I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of a career achievement. You know, sometimes some things have to happen, ask you.
I'm pretty sour about it.
Yes. I mean, you were more than good enough to be there, but Jermoni Dawson just kept getting the vote.
They only take one center, usually. Two, but.
Well, anyway, Kevin Mawai. There are a couple of guys that just kind of got
them. The center position in the AFC was so freaking
Kent,
loaded. In
Kent
the 90s.
Hall snuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of good ones.
There was.
But you know,
if the Chiefs had gone through and won two Super Bowls early in your career,
if I would have had 15 and a half sacks, I would have been sour too.
You would have had 8, and he should be sour. Yeah. And it was BS.
Yeah.
Right? I love Chris Jones. I think he's a great guy. I think it's over for him in this town after this year. Because I think
I did two or three events with Chris Jones. I did one over here with Sprint just about 3 months ago. Really, really nice guy.
Treats
everybody well. Always has a smile on his face. But, yeah, I mean, he's a little bit scarred. And, listen, that's what happens when you play in the NFL for a while. I mean, you just start to get, you know, you get a little bit sour. You get a little angry. They used to call me grumpy. You just get grumpy. And that's okay. This is part of it. And, you know, you try to put on a happy face when you're out in public, and you got to say the right things. But you know what? Listen, one of the things that I had a great opportunity to do when I was playing is I got to go do a Thursday night show and enjoy and be out with the fans and have a couple adult beverages. And, you know, just that was great. That was my outlet. I loved it. It was fun. And it kind of reset me. And but you know, a lot of this day and age, you can't do a lot of that stuff. Number one, you everybody has a camera and a video recorder in their pocket at all times. Thank God they didn't have that 25 years ago. That would not have been good for anybody who's at the levee. That would not have been good. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hard.
By the way,
it's
we always joke about that. It also wouldn't have been that bad either. But, you know,
I don't know.
There were not bar fights and, you know.
No, there wasn't bar fights, but there was, you think that, you know, you think that Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend looked bad. You should have saw half the linebackers for the Kansas City Chiefs back then.
Are you talking about her appearances on social media during this past game?
Well, no, I'm talking about her chugging a bottle of vodka deal, which, you know, was like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
So you haven't gotten to this week's?
I haven't gotten to it. Okay. No. I don't follow her. I don't. I mean, I know people that do, and I guess it's fun, but I don't know.
I don't either. Had some people show. I don't really care because it really doesn't pertain to the team.
It doesn't.
Unless we find out that he's losing his mind over, you know, he's got a bad situation at home. Then
doesn't
I'll,
seem like
then
he
I'll
is.
Talk about it, but it doesn't. He seems quite happy. He's playing pretty well.
Oh, by the way, how about his mom? His mom is a classy gal. She's doing a lot of different stuff around town now, too. I don't know if that she had a...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she's doing some deal for a charity. I saw it on the news, and she was great. His dad's a little grumpy at times.
He's a ball player. You guys are all a little bit grumpy at times. I've actually the interactions that I've never been with him in person situation. But everyone I've talked to says he's been a pleasant guy to deal with.
Yeah. So man, he looks the part. He looks grumpy.
He looks like a guy who wants to stare in and throw a fastball right by your chin.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't mean that that's what he is.
No. But you know he can.
Curtis looks like a guy who might pull a tree out of the ground and hit you over the head with it, but he's not. He's actually a really nice guy.
Plus, it would take effort.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhardt next.
The program with Soren Petro.
He's really good, and I don't know if you know this. He's kind of a colorful fellow that also creates some interest that makes it fun.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Soren Petro. Tim Grunhardt with you here in the program. Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall. Talking some Chiefs football. what are you laughing at?
I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, okay. Things and stuff.
Stuff.
Seen some things,
laughing
man.
At stuff.
Stuff and things, you know.
Can we talk about our friends real quick from CBD America Shaman?
Yes, please
next,
do.
Next Thursday, guys. This
Thursday,
30%
right?
off. Yeah, coming up this Thursday. 30% off all stores all day. 30% off all stores. Usually it's 30% off when you're doing your show. Or I'm doing my show there.
Prime time.
But you know what? They're like, you know, we're celebrating the AFC Championship. So stop in and load up. 30% off all stores all day Thursday. So get your CBD needs over at CBD American Shaman on Thursday all day, 30% off. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, I saw Jamie Friday night. Was eating dinner at the same establishment he was. He and his lovely wife. It was great to see them.
He called me and said, hey, come on over and watch the game Sunday. And I had a bunch of people coming over. I wish I could have went over to his house. We live pretty close to each other. But at that first quarter, I would not have been a good
guess. I was not a fun guy to be around.
I loved you. I was living vicariously through your tweets. Your tweets were the best. I mean, they were. And then one guy said, like, two other buddies, they don't drink, but now they decided to drink.
Two of the three took it up. Two of the three. Listen, my feeling was, what I said at the time with other colorful language was basically, I've waited my whole lifetime to have a real quarterback and a real shot to go the distance, and now all the jackasses around him are going to screw it up. Well, that's what it felt like to me. Like, everything that could go wrong around him, not that he was perfect because he was a little bit off and throwing the ball behind guys in that first quarter, so he wasn't as sharp as he would go on to be, but it totally felt like...
I think they started a little bit tight. I really do. I mean, in every aspect, drops.
And every mistake
they
made
started
them a little
bad,
tighter.
I know that.
Yeah. Every time, it's 7-0. Oh, it's 14-0. Oh, my God, it's 21-0.
Yeah.
It took that. I think the Hardman play kind of loosened them up a bit to a degree.
Are you going to the Super Bowl? Because I'm going. We're going.
I will be down there Tuesday through Friday, and then I'm coming back. I got family commitments.
Okay. Well, I'm going Friday. So
got to coach basketball.
Okay.
I already missed one game for the Army-Navy game. I can't be Kansas missing
City
games
Chiefs,
all the time.
35-17.
In the Excuse Super Bowl?
No,
or against the Titans?
Titans. Let's worry about these Titans first. 35-17.
Yes.
And your boy Derrick Henry runs for 150 yards, but
it's not enough. It doesn't matter. His number, but the Chiefs still get the
Chiefs,
win.
Chiefs get the win.
All right, you heard it here first. Tim Grunhardt, 35-17.
Super Chiefs. Bowl.
Danny's next.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Derrick Henry has back-to-back games with 30 carries. Who was the last player to have three in a row in the postseason? Brought to you by Good Sense.